Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Namaste to everyone. Welcome in the Lotus Place. Yes, namaste. Namaste. Namaste, Mother Zola. Namaste, Delta.
Yes. How everybody doing tonight?
Hey, namaste to Scotty. Namaste to Scotty.
Namaste, Scotty.
We just namasteing tonight. Namaste. Yes, indeed. Peace and blessings and hello, greetings, and what else? Hola. Let me see. Barkadai, yaya dai. That's how's let me see. French.
Bonjour.
Bonjour, yeah.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. Yeah, bonjour.
Hola. So,
yeah, hola. what's another one? I think of all the languages I know right now. But anyway, we are here at the Lotus Place Radio Show. It is January the 10th, 2015. I am hailing from Motor City, Motown, Detroit for right now. I'm in Detroit, Michigan. And before I forget, let me give out this phone number if you would like to call in and join us. Simply dial 641-715-3660. That's 614-715-3660. And the participant code is 549032. Press pound and star 61 if you would like to share something with us. And is that right? Star 61. I see a different audio key here, but I think you can just press star 61.
That's correct. You're correct. Star 6 and 1.
Oh, okay. Okay, I see this audio key here, and I wasn't sure what that is. Okay, yeah, so star 61. Thanks, Scotty. Star 61. And we can hear your thoughts, because this is Black Thought Sunday here at the Lotus Place Radio, Black Talk Network. And we would love to hear from you. Black Thought Sunday, what's on your mind line. So we want to welcome everyone in to share their thoughts. And let's welcome in King B. King B is joining us tonight. King B.
Greetings, greetings. How's everybody?
Hi,
namaste, King B.
King B is hailing from the BK where they split that money three ways, I heard. Yes.
Say that again.
I said you're hailing from BK, where they split that money three ways.
Yeah, right.
They split it three ways, all right, with the rent too damn high.
We're still waiting for the third person to be indicted. They got the former speaker of this family of Democrats. We got the Republican speaker, the third person. Everybody's mumbling the word about. What's wrong with the governor? It was always known that three white men in a room were in the state of New York. And this governor is guilty of sin of all of the above charges. No one.
Now, what governor are you speaking of? Wait a minute, Kent. What governor? Because so many of them need to be indicted, including like.
Well, we'll start with the one here in New York. Andrew Cuomo has the media in his hip pocket. Black leadership. Long ago was compromise, but they never had any desire to upset NASA. Never. Mm. The goals of the Black Caucus in Albany, clueless, rendering them to be useless. So you have no local representation in the, within the city representation, and up in Albany, it's worse. That's the capital. It's worse. So these black faces gaining seniority at the expense of people who are deaf, dumb, and blind.
Deaf, dumb, and blind.
Don't know how the system works. So we're dealing with one is the desire of the other one to remain that way, deaf, dumb, and blind, while these politicians get over like fat rats. Same thing in Chicago, same thing in Baltimore. Everywhere where black people live, there black people are missing, they're missing representation to have the spine to stand up for their people to have justice.
Yeah. Well, let me share this with you, Kante. I shared this with Mother Zola yesterday. You know, I have family in Inkster, I-N-K-S-T-E-R, Michigan, which is like 20 minutes from Detroit, and they told me that in Inkster, believe it or not, in Inkster, do you guys know that there is not one? Okay, first let me preface this by saying Inkster is a historical, like, black little small suburb outside of Detroit, primarily black. And do you know that there is not one school in Inkster? Not one. When Governor Snyder, when Governor Snyder came in, not only did he close each and every school in Inkster, but he also demolished all the buildings so that they could never rebuild those schools. So that they can't say, oh, well, we'll just go back and open up a school, or we'll go back and open up a community center in that vacant building. He demolished all the buildings. Yeah.
And where was the black leadership in the pulpit or in politics? I said there's a politics to hell to the no. This ain't going down that way.
Yeah.
So how in the world can that happen?
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, these people in this area have been beaten down so badly because
that's right.
You know, they had the bottom pulled out of them. All of these people worked in the auto manufacturing industry. And so once they shipped all of those jobs over to Mexico and paid them 70 cents an hour instead of paying everybody $25 or $30 an hour.
Hey.
So they pulled the bottom out of Flint, Detroit, Inkster, all of these little cities around here. And maybe I'll have time to give everybody an update on the teacher crisis, as the teacher crisis in Detroit, as well as the water crisis in Flint. I'm here.
Don't leave out don't leave out the mess going on in Benton Harbor. Blacks make up 97% of the population, and they allow the man who was about to upset the apple cart by recalling Stooge Mayor for RCA Whirlpool. They allow this man to be persecuted, not prosecuted. To be persecuted. Man, his name is Reverend Edmund Pinckney. He's in jail as we're talking, and his only charge that they had against him, he falsified records of people voting to recall Mayor James Hightower, when it was clear it was the orders of RCA Whirlpool to shut down a man who refused to buckle or bow to the dictates and whims and wishes of RCA Whirlpool. And that blacks, knowing what the deal was, still remained numb. Not a mumbling word when this man was sent to jail. He was 500 miles away from Benton Harbor. And it is a clear indication that they want this man dead. They've been trying. He's been under tremendous pressure while he's in prison. And that our people, like I said, 97% of the population. So, you know, like, we stand idly by and let our strong leaders be persecuted, assassinated, like Dr. King's birthday is coming up very soon. These black pastors all, now everybody wants to celebrate Dr. King's birthday, but not one black pastor in this area, I don't know about where you guys are, but not one black pastor in this area dares celebrate the assassination of Dr. King. He's been there since 1968. There's not been that one black pastor that has the tenacity and the chutzpah to hold a memorial service commemorating the death of Dr. King. And they give out communion once a month to commemorate the death of Christ. And I always ask the question, was there ever a black leader more Christ-like than Dr. King who took the abuse not only from black folks, I mean, not only from white folks, but from black folks as well?
Well, King B, let's go ahead on and let Delta get her hot topics in, because I know she's just steaming, sitting on those hot topics, and then we'll come back with more topics. So, Delta,
yes, how everyone doing tonight?
Hey, Delta.
I got one tonight. It's going to make all y'all go off. And they said this story is sent to break wide open. It is a police officer in South Carolina.
Oh boy.
He confesses that he is a Ku Klux Klan.
What? He confessed?
Yeah. He confessed he's a Ku Klux
Klan. We know they are confessed.
Yeah, he said he don't hide it. He's not ashamed of it. But he said that they don't discriminate against blacks. They just for the white race. That's what he said. But listen at what happened. A young black boy was walking down the street who had the hoverboard. Y'all know that's the new hottest thing now. The hoverboard. The young black boy had the hoverboard up under his arm. Holding the hoverboard. This white policeman who says he's not, he don't hate blacks, he just for strictly for the white race. He said that he thought the young man had a Shima gun. He told the young man to put the gun down. The young man was trying to tell him it was not a gun. The police shot the black boy and killed him.
What?
Yes.
With a hoverboard?
With a hoverboard. This is the excuse he used. He thought it was a Shima gun. Like a Shima gun. Not properly saying the word. Y'all know what I'm trying to say.
Machine gun.
That is correct. That's what he thought it was. And he killed this young black
boy. They don't even look alike.
They don't even look alike.
And what is a child? Where are we going to get a machine gun from?
No, but see, when you're black, it's always the wrong complexion for the connection. And anything goes as an excuse to kill a young black male. Don't forget Amadou Diallo. The cops thought his wallet was a gun. He took 42 bullets. Some say officially it was 41, but really unofficially it was 42 bullets. So they can kill, and was a cop ever indicted?
They did anything. I think one person wound up. It was a whole bunch of them involved, but only one person wound up going to jail. Well, let me go to the next story, and then we'll come back to that. And we got a white judge in Mississippi. He saw a some kind of way a black boy. Now, I don't think it was inside the courtroom. It was outside the courtroom. The white judge took the mentally ill black man and slapped him in the back of his head. And told him, run, nigga, run. And they have got a petition to have the judge fired. A lot of the people do not want the judge fired. Now, we know if a black judge had slapped a white man in the back of the head that's mentally ill, he'd have been in prison by now.
For sure.
Okay, then we have another case down where this one happened last year, but they just went to trial and the young lady was simping. This down in fourth, what you call it? Fourth, I can't say that word.
Fourth ward?
Down, it's down there. This is where this incident happened.
Fourth ward, where?
Is it Texas?
Texas,
Louisiana?
Fort Worth? Is it
that
Fort Worth?
That's it. My sister.
Okay. Fort Worth, Texas.
Well, this young, I don't think it was in Texas. I'll get the exact name.
Fort Worth, Florida?
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say, sister. That you got it right.
Wait a minute. Is it Fort? I mean, what city is it now?
Okay.
Is it Fort Lauderdale?
No, let me just leave where it's happening at. I'll go back and pull that right quick. Let me tell you what happened. This case where they killed a 59-year-old white woman. This black girl who was 16 years old had a boyfriend who was 24 years old. Really, the mother had no business letting her even date a 24-year-old man, and she's nothing but 16. This girl was helping this lady out that was 59 years old. This girl was like the woman's caretaker helping the lady out. The young lady and her boyfriend killed the woman. And they charged the young black girl as an adult. And they give this child life in prison. So my question is, do you think even, and now they give the boyfriend the death penalty. He's 24, but they give the 16-year-old black girl, charged her as an adult, and gave her life in prison. The question I want to ask my listening audience and my participators, do you think that she should get life with no parole? Okay, because the Alpha Winfrey team just killed 4 people and didn't get but a year at a resort. So that's something to think about. Then we got the judge that made the remark. And I can't remember where this one's at, but I remember this on the news where the judge made the remark about the heroin epidemic. And it's been all over CNN. And he said that the black men are coming down to his town. And he said they are called D-Money, Slick Money, and Putin. It's all over the radio. It's been all over CNN. And he said that they... Did you see that, King B? Did you see it?
Was this in Maine?
Maine, that is correct.
Yeah, I saw that. I said,
and he said that they have been coming down there, the drug deals, and he said they're coming from New York and all different places. And he said, and they're coming down there giving the white women's heroin. And he said, and oh, by the way, before they leave, they impregnate all the white women before they leave. You know, then he said they got a bigger problem when they go to having those babies. That's basically what he's saying. So, what do y'all think about them? But the most important case, what do you think about the young black man with the hoverboard? Let's touch bases on all 40s. The young black man, King B, with the hoverboard under his arm, and this young man have lost his life. What do y'all think about this? And he's acknowledging that he is a Ku Klux Klan, but he said not against black, it's just for his white race. Now, what do y'all think?
Go ahead, women first. Ladies first.
Go ahead, Black Rose.
Let me just get to, you know, I always have to make sure I hear everything properly because I'm always multitasking. So this little boy was riding on the hoverboard and the police officer shot him?
No, he wasn't riding on his hoverboard. He was walking. And he got, it's not, he's a, from my understanding, he's like maybe between, 18, 19. He took his hoverboard and he was walking and he placed his hoverboard under his arm. And he was walking down the street with his hoverboard. The police said that he mistaken the hoverboard for a machine gun. And he shot the young black man multiple times and killed him. What do you think? And he said that he's a Ku Klux Klan, but he is not against black folks. He just fighting for the white race.
I don't even need to hear any more of that. Because, I mean, listen, here's the deal. Dr. Frances Cress Wilson, may she rest in peace. Peace be upon her. She explains all of this in her book, The ISIS Papers. When these black men, I mean, when these, well, when black men are walking, running, breathing, driving, sleeping, like Fred Hampton, it does not matter what they are doing. When they see a black man, they see a threat. So it doesn't matter if he has a stick, a piece of gum,
cigarette,
a lollipop, or ear. It don't matter what he has in his hand, under his arm, on top of his head, in his pants, in his toe. It does not matter. They are going to shoot him because the sooner that black people wake up and stop fucking around, and I hate to say it like that, but as soon as black people stop fucking around and get with the real and realize we are at war and these people are out here to kill us, it's no question about why they shoot them, why they do this, because they doing what they supposed to do.
Thank you.
Yep.
They are here.
Thank you.
Police
eliminating
arm of the state. They are doing their job, which is to eliminate us. Okay.
Yes.
Because these people are trying to survive, and they're trying to eliminate us. So it does not matter. Dr. Frances Cress Wilson explains this in her book. She wrote an essay on it. When they see a black man, they automatically see us as a threat. So they see the black man as a weapon. He in and of himself is a weapon. He's a weapon.
His skin is a weapon.
Threat. He is a threat to their existence. So they always will find some reason and excuse it by saying, well, I thought he had a gun. I thought my life was in danger, and so were my partners and other people around us. We were in danger. And they have made laws to get away with it. So when I say when we stop fucking around, I mean when we get up and start trying to fight the police union's laws where they can get away with this shit and start trying to create legislation and policies where they can't get away with this, then we can stop dealing with all this. But until we do that, every other day, we're going to be talking about who got shot by the police. And I right now really personally don't give a fuck because I'm sick of hearing about people who got shot in the head by police when black folks not going to do shit but march and cry about it.
And let the clowns like Sharpton, I'm going to Sharpton say Sharpton, who is a known bewilderer, get them to march around, to cool them down, go to these BS rally they have. He has every Saturday up in Harlem. He's not about to upset white supremacy. You know, the idea that black people, since Reconstruction, that's the best years of our lives, never even then had political nor legal protection. Now, the three I's, they didn't stop until they got the political and legal protection. Who are the three I's? Irish, Italian, and Israeli. All three was considered subhuman, not white. But they fought to get the leadership. They were criminal acts or what. But these three ethnic groups have political and legal protection. They're in this country far, far less than we have been in this country. We built this country, but we never bothered to understand that if they said in the Constitution that we are 3/5, I don't care if it doesn't say it now, it's not the idea that they don't say it. It's the mentality. The poison has been set in the minds of most whites that black people are subhuman. In Jewish world, they have a Yiddish word which means we are subhuman. The word is pronounced goids. And they see us as subhuman. The biggest exploiter of slavery during the time when the black people wasn't even thinking about having someone to fight for their rights. Jews were one of the biggest perpetrators of keeping black people in bondage because they were enjoying the monies they made off of black free labor, cotton, tobacco, and sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly cotton, because that's all America was known for, exporting cotton. So we have all this time now. We never had political nor legal protection. Now, when we lost our Reconstruction rights, the North told the South, North ran by Republicans, South ran by Democrats, told the South, we will pull the Union troops out that was guaranteeing black the Reconstruction rights, but hey, with the proviso, you never ever talk about succeed from the Union. You could do to the blacks whatever you wanted to. That's when the lynchings began and the Klan was born, and the Democrats in the South, they had, I call it a terrorist task force, called the Ku Klux Klan.
Mm-hmm.
That was the South ran by the Democrats terrorist task force to remind blacks, you're going back into slavery and we will control your every move. So now, all this time now, all these atrocities we're hearing, young Tamir Rice, this president had all the tears for white kids up there in Connecticut, but had not one tear for Tamir Rice, a young black boy shot in cold blood less than 2 seconds when the cop got out the car. Didn't even say, drop your gun, son, or let me see your hand, son. No. Immediately put to death. Had this young man who was shot by this police officer. He said it was in Mississippi, Mother Dunning.
Hey, Kenton, hold on for just a quick second. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and let Delta Sugar give us an update on that. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be
you
right back.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
Coming over here supervising taxpayers, parents, and grandparents that make more and you come out here laughing when they send Officer Lien Ash to jail. I want to see how many of y'all agents come out here and be laughing, because they're going to make an example out of the Chinese community for they messed up policies and laws. What you doing vertical patrol for in the project? Go do that shit on Wall Street where they're stealing money. Go do vertical patrol to Wall Street. Go do vertical patrols on Exchange Way. Yeah. Go do vertical patrols on 2 Broadway. Matter of fact, go do vertical patrols in one police plaza. Do a vertical patrol in one police plaza. Do a vertical patrol in one police plaza and check your own goddamn self. Because you rape women, you lie, you cheat on your taxes, you do insurance fraud, and you cheat on your women. And you cheat on your women, and you lie on your taxes, and you rape, and you steal.
The domestic violence.
So you got a lot of goddamn nerve following us around. Why don't you follow yourselves around? Because you're a goddamn joke. You're a joke. Follow your own goddamn selves around. And all of the white ones going back to Juan Gage and Lyndon Hurst and Dick Hill don't give a fuck about you or your children. They'll call them cotton-picking niggas when they get home. They'll call your kids cotton-picking niggas when they get home. So you don't get out here and supervise your goddamn selves.
Mike,
let's check this motherfucking
Mike.
Oh, I love her. Let's check this motherfucking
Let's check.
Excuse my language. I love it. She said you lie, you cheat on your taxes, and you rape women like what's his name? Daniel Holdsclaw and the rest of these
rapists
running around here.
And the domestic violence.
And the domestic violence and the alcoholics. They're abusers, not only of the community, but of their own family, their own spouses. Oh,
yes.
My God, I love it. That's the woman speaking at a rally, let's see, in response to when Akai Gurley was killed in the stairwell up there at the Pink Project up there with you, Candy. Let's welcome in Brother Brown. Hey, Brother Brown.
Hey, Brother. Good evening, everybody. How you doing?
Hey, Brother Brown.
Right. Santa was asking Delta about, what were you asking, Kanti?
The town where the cop shot the young boy over a hoverboard, thinking it was a machine gun.
South Carolina.
South Carolina, okay. All right. And I was just going to say that they don't have to be accurate for what they thought they saw. They don't have to be accurate. White supremacy gives them the excuse to use by any means necessary to take down the number one arch nemesis. Black people are, the cream of the mold, one of my mentors, she always said, children, you're too slow. Black people are very slow to understand that white supremacists in this country see black people as the number one arch nemesis. They never did accept it as human beings, and they certainly don't accept it as a human being now, especially when the enemy is in the White House. We've got the butler, the chauffeur, or the cook. But this man is the chief executive, and white folks don't like to take orders from a black man who they consider too uppity and can do the job, and it irks them that he won a second election. They just knew Karl Rove even assured the powers that be that he had it made to make sure that President Obama would be a one-term president. But what did Obama do when he got reelected? He did nothing to help his base. He refused to even pardon Jack Johnson or Marcus Garvey, saying it was a waste of time. He refused to deal with even this prison farm in Louisiana called, after an African nation, Angola Prison Farm. He refused to deal with what's going on
but
in
wait
Detroit,
a minute,
Michigan.
But wait a minute, Kansas. Wait a minute, please allow me to inject this. It was a waste of time to pardon Jack Johnson or Marcus Garvey.
Yeah.
But what's that little crackhead name, that little white boy crackhead, Robert Downey Jr.? He was pardoned.
You see
what? Mm-hmm.
Crackhead. Yes, I said it, crackhead, because he's a crackhead just like Charlie Sheen. Crackhead. Yep. These white boys can be crackheads all day long. They receive all
day.
Types of sympathy. Now, nobody want. Everybody was coming down on Bill Cosby, but nobody wants to come down on the white boy Charlie Sheen for running around being a crackhead and a meth head and giving people HIV. But but people want
to
come down on Bill Cosby. Yeah.
And leave it to the mainstream media.
Leave it to the mainstream media.
They play this game where out of sight, out of mind. The mainstream media is not about the business of helping you connect the dots. That's for business. Black people are so deaf and blind. It's like when the white man, Richard Pryor, when he said, "May he rest in peace," he said, "The white man said so. Must be true."
Must
we
be
don't
true.
Question nothing that
nothing.
The mainstream
nothing.
Media tells us. I mean, Cosby. No. Cosby, he turned his back on his own people. He lambasted the youth. He lambasted black women. You know, he had nothing up to say about black people. Now he is being stripped of his royalty. Luckily, for his behind that the prosecutor refused to indict the charges for some of the women, women are making because of conflict. It was called tax of reputation. But there's a whole lot of that's a limitation. What white woman do you know want to let a black man rape her if she take the drugs that would put her out of this world? Take the drugs and knowing full well this man is not giving her the drug to calm her down while he reads to her passage of scripture. He has intentions of tuning her organ, and I don't mean the pipe organ. So well, listen. These white women are very, very conniving. That's why I said to brothers, leave these white women alone because they are jailbait. They will use you and they're really tired of you. They just got your rape and you're done.
Well, you know, Bill Cosby, he probably did give them drugs. I don't know because I wasn't there. But one thing I do know is those white men that raped our ancestors on the plantation here, they didn't even get a damn women drugs to sedate them.
No.
So that they could, you know, endure the pain in at least a sedated state. They just completely raped them.
Put,
then after they impregnated them, took the children, sold them. So I don't give a goddamn about no damn ugly ass white bitch that got raped by Bill Cosby. I hate to be I'm just tired of this stuff.
Yeah, I saw the irons that was used to keep that woman from fighting when this rapist was raping her. This brother was trying to get a museum started where he had these irons that was preserved. The iron was designed where a black woman's wrist was shackled to her ankles, and all the white men would just pull up her skirt or her dress. Well, she knows she wasn't wearing panties or brassiere, so that's all she had under there was her. And he could rape her, gang bang her, and it was so, you know, we came here jet black, and now we've gone from jet black from charcoal to vanilla.
Clearly that we are the product of rape.
Thank you. Where did the word mulatto come from? And
they
got another
word. Hey, can I chime in on that? Can I? Because I'm sensitive to that, you know. Because there's a lot of colorism in the black community, you know. And I've observed that today on Facebook, or people talking about Sister Zaza Ali that hosts a program with Professor Grip. Now I don't know her. Okay, but she was on Time for Awakening earlier tonight, and they talking about cause she light skin and she I don't know if she straightened her hair or she got a white parent or not, but obviously she talk about black people issues. She was talking about you know the Francis Cresswell scene tonight. You know I've never had time to listen to their program, but I run in some of the same circles. And I'm looking at these people calling themselves black nationalists attacking this black woman because she light-skinned. In case a lot of people don't know, I'm light-skinned too. All right? I'm light-skinned. My kids are light-skinned. And, I just get tired of the colorism and whatnot. You know, I see a whole lot of dark people, you know, that's doing just as much as dirt as anybody else to our people. You know, but here's an interesting history fact that I found out in my research of slavery in this country. Do you know that when they were kidnapping Irish women from Ireland, Now, we know they classified as white. You had to read the book, you know, The Invention of the White Race to understand what I mean by classified as white, because they weren't always classified as white. But they were, when they kidnapped them Irish women, do you know they was mating them with African men? And I never read this before, and I got it from a good source, another person that was researching the history of Europe and the enslavement of the Irish. But when they start bringing them here as slaves, they were mating the Irish women with African men because the light-skinned babies they was producing fetch more at the slave market.
Oh,
wow.
But I just wanted to chime in because, see, I was looking at my census report because I know, you know, I do research on my own family history and whatnot. And at one time, in the 1880 census, everybody that was part of that particular family that's in my ancestral line, everybody except for the mother was listed as mulatto. Her husband, one of my, I don't know if he was my great-great-great-grandfather or my great-uncle or whatnot, but he, Matt Rankin, was a mulatto. His wife was named, what was her name, Louise Rankin, something like that. She was listed in the census as black, but all their children was listed as mulatto. And then I thought about that. I was like, well, I thought if you just had one drop rule that, you know, if one of your parents was black, all the children going to be listed as black. But apparently that ain't true. And I just noticed that in my own family, one of my family census reports, is that all those children were listed mulatto. Now I got to look at the descending, you know, the rest of the census reports after 1880 to see when did they start classifying us as just black. Or did we tell them, or did they start letting us choose for ourselves or whatnot? So I'm sorry if I sound sensitive, but I mean, I just, you know, that pisses me off, man. It ought to be what your conscious acts are to determine your allegiance to the African diaspora or the so-called black community and not your skin color.
My brother.
Right.
My brother. Right. What I said before, and I'm saying it again, we never had political nor legal protection. So all that time that the white man could store up all this negative information to keep us in a vagabond state as a subhuman character, and we're the only ethnic group that's defamed in the Constitution. Even though they say it's not in there now, but I'm saying the die has been cast, the poison has been cast. White people see us as subhuman. So it was not about raping black women. You took her. She was to be taken. And it is the sad thing about our people, not knowing our history. Some don't want to know their history. There are some blacks are so far gone, they think they came over here on the Mayflower. And they are so tragically, psychologically damaged that they do not do anything that's going to be able to arouse their consciousness level to be concerned about we as a people, as far as the future is concerned. We don't have a future. Gentrification is seeing that black people are going to be removed from the major cities where we were known to exist. Gentrification is not because of the brotherhood of man. It means that they have found a way to say no blacks need apply for the apartment or the housing, even though they use that word, wanting to build affordable housing. I'm in the Brooklyn area, the largest borough here in New York City, and I'm telling you guys, there is not one site that is being built on to build housing for people who are working, poor, or poor people. We got a jive, phony liberal mayor who talks the talk, but he's not walking the walk, and we have none of the black leadership is desirous of cleaning his clock. And he got a good bulk of the black vote for his election, the first go round. Who did he appoint as police commissioner? A man that was known as public enemy in the black community named William Bratton, whose famous preferred weapon was the chokehold. So yeah. we don't have the leadership to deal with our lack of
being concerned as being a human being. They have no desire to stop their atrocities against us. Like I said, Black Rose, they know what they're doing to us. They know exactly what they're doing to us.
Yeah.
But
hey,
we,
Candy, I know Delta wants us to comment on her hot topics.
Ahead.
And let's give Brother Brown a chance to speak on any of the hot topics or issues that we've been discussing.
Yes.
Because I know he just jumped in. So, Delta, you want to give us just a brief synopsis again for Brother Brown?
Yeah, and Brother Brown,
I heard
it
all.
Okay.
I want to
so
ask
Brother Brown.
Brother Brown this particular question, since he's the legal scholar on our team. Brother Brown, okay, they charged this young Black girl at 16 years old, and the boyfriend was 24. Even though the boyfriend
you look at the crime that was committed. And what we don't understand is that these crimes are committed by us for whatever reason. We have to face some responsibility. We already know what the court system going to produce. Like Sister Shiva said earlier, why should we be so alarmed if we already know what time of day it is?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Why are we still upset about that?
Right. And we're not going to do anything about it.
Right. We're not going to do anything about it. We're going to go to church. We're going to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to go back
mm-hmm.
to the same thing that we did last
right.
year. So what's so alarming about it?
Yeah.
Last year when they had all them shootings, what did I say? I said,
it'll be another
two weeks later, they're going to do another one. They're going to do another one. And then we're going to do the same thing. We're going to march them. What's going on in Ferguson right now? Nothing. See, so if we go down there into that court system and we're accused of doing wrong to a white person, we already know what we're going to get. We already know what our fate is. We already know. The only crime that they cannot charge you with as an adult is for drug trafficking. Anything associated with murder, violence, or gang-related activities, they have federal laws and state laws to charge you as an adult. Now, if I take a 16-year-old boy and he get caught with $10,000 worth of narcotics, he'll still be adjudicated as a juvenile. If I take a 16-year-old boy and put a 9mm in his hand, and somebody say he killed a police officer, even if there's no ballistic report to prove it, then he's going to prison for the rest of his life. I mean, what do we need as a blueprint that we haven't had before? So when you bring up these instances about the situation that's going on, it shouldn't be alarming to us.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, what position are we going to take?
Hello, exactly.
If we're going to see a complaint, I'm out of complaints right now.
Me too, Brother Brown. I'm just
Me
tired.
Too.
I'm tired and I'm bored. Oh, let me do my fake mouth. Oh, I'm bored. I'm really bored with all of this.
Yeah, I'm out of complaints.
Yeah.
The ancestors and the teachers who have came before us, Dr. Wilson gave her life.
Thank you.
To try to set an example. She neglected her personal life.
And built
J.
an army
Rogers.
For justice.
I mean, J.A. Rogers. She was
trying to build an army for justice. I'm sorry, Brother Brown.
Okay. J.A. Rogers, Dr. John Henry Clark, Dr. Joseph Ben Yachman, all these people, they
Amos
neglected
Wilson.
Themselves.
We
yeah, they neglected themselves to try to show us an example to follow. Okay, but what are we following? We're following the same philosophies and ideologies of people who don't look like us.
Tim Wise.
Okay, we continue to do the same thing over and over again. We do not understand the element of which means we have to return to the past in order to prepare for the future. How many of us have just said we are not going to practice any European ideology? We're so caught up in the slave mindset that we can't stop being slaves. And until you stop being a slave, until you stop being a slave, stop wanting to be a slave, then only will you not be a slave. But as long as you practice what the slave master taught you, I don't care how much money you got, I don't care what kind of car you drive, I don't care what kind of house you live in, you'll always be a slave. And I'm done.
So true. So true.
Mm-hmm. And you know,
we're walking down the same street, stepping in the same hole, complaining that we're there in that hole, being frustrated that we're being in that hole, distraught and upset that we're in that hole, but we keep walking down the same street, stepping in the same hole.
Brother Brown, let me get
to the wrong people, raising the wrong questions, and knocking on the wrong doors.
You know, I'm going to tell you another thing. Why do we continue to look for leadership?
Be the leader.
Right.
That's another stupid innuendo. Every time I turn around, I hear black people talking about
We need a leader.
Be your own leader.
I heard a person told me, well, if it wasn't shopping, we would have nobody out there speaking for us.
Okay, well, you know what, brother? And I hear you all the time. Okay, let's not even mention him no more. You already know what he's about. Why is it that we have to keep dealing with people that we already know what time of day it is? I've been in meetings with Al Sharpton. I've been in meetings with Jesse Jackson. You never hear me mention. You know why?
I forgot all
because
about it.
I already know what time of day it is with them two Negroes, so it's no sense in me even thinking about
giving energy into it.
Exactly. I forgot all about
them. Yeah, you got to move on. I remember when Jesse Jackson came to Norfolk, Virginia years ago, and we were marching to keep the schools from being resegregated. Okay? This Negro came there, they gave him a box of money. He changed it to voter registration when he was running for president, and he forgot all about them poor black children. I had nothing else to do for Jesse Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care nothing about him. I don't care whether he live or breathe. Because he's not, he's the white folks' problem. He's not my problem. When I see him on TV, I turn the channel. I'm not even interested in anything he's saying. And on that Bill Cosby issue, let me say this real quick. Okay. And we need to understand, Bill Cosby was NBC's poster boy. Bill Cosby made all his millions of dollars and all the money he accumulated off of NBC for 40 years. Okay? Do not think that you're going to make millions and millions of dollars off of these crackers and these Jews and they not have a dossier on you in case they ever need it.
They had a
dossier on everything that Bill Cosby did and all the women he dated and all the little sexual fantasies that took place on his life. It was only when he decided that he thought she could pull a rank on him that they used it against him. And you know what? When you lay down with dogs, you wake up with fleas.
Please.
You know what, Brother Brown? I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, those are classic COINTEL tactics. And I remember reading some stuff because I do political prisoner radio, so I study that a lot. Plus, I have an interest in, you know, that time period. But when it came to Malcolm X, they ain't have nothing on him. They couldn't get nothing on him because he lived what he preached. They didn't have nothing on him. Once he left that criminal lifestyle behind, he lived on a righteous path all the time. And they were frustrated.
The only thing that they ever had on Malcolm X happened early. This was after his criminal activity. There was an incident when he was living in Harlem with his wife. And that's when he was new to the nation. He was new to the Nation of Islam. And they had an incident where him and some old Muslim brothers were supposed to set the spot on him. that's when they started building up a dossier because they thought that these people had set this building on fire. And that's what promulgated them to watch Malcolm as they did. But other than that, that dossier they built up on Malcolm was a false dossier. And I know because they got one on me. I already know that. They have been to my house. 6 o'clock in the morning knocking on my door. So I'm aware of this. And I'm not alarmed and I'm not scared and I ain't ashamed. It's only when you step out of the realm of being a good Negro and not being a slave and you start utilizing the spiritual part of your ancestors, then you will be watched. As long as you stay in check, as long as you stay within your boundaries, they ain't gonna worry about you. They don't care whether you live, they're not even gonna bother you. When you start stepping outside your boundaries spiritually and knowing that you're not a slave, oh, then you're going to be visited by these people.
Yep.
And if you're not ready for it, then I tell people, stay in your comfort zone. Stay where you think you're going to be comfortable at because this is a war. And when you're at war, you got enemies that look like you and you got some that don't look like you. If you're not ready to go to war, then don't mess with the struggle.
All right. Well, I hear you, Brother Brown, and I have to say I agree with you. We just need to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, and we can pick back up on Delta's topic, but we want to go into our mind, body, and spirit also. Mother Zola has a mind, body, and spirit that she is going to share when we come back after the break, and we can talk about Delta Cougar's topic. We can talk about black empowerment, the water in Flint, the lead water in Flint, what's going on in Detroit, Flint, all throughout Michigan, and whatever is going on where you are as well. So we want to hear from you. Call in 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032#, and press *61. If you would like to share a comment. So let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
Financial question for Delta, so stay tuned for that response from Delta Cougar. Okay, we're back here at the Lotus Place. So, Mother Zola, bring us your mind, body, and spirit. You know, we're all about helping people have a happy, healthy, and wholesome lifestyle. So, Mother Zola is going to share her mind, body, and spirit with us because we want us to make that change, like Michael Jackson says in that song. And in order to do that, we have to look in the mirror and first change ourselves. Nothing is going to change. These police officers are going to stay on track doing what they have to do. These politicians are going to stay on track doing what they have to do. We need to get on track because we're not on any kind of track. We need to develop a track to stay on so that we can do what we need to do. Otherwise, exactly. We're going to keep going in the same old circle day after day after day after day. The police killings are not new. What is new is social media, camera phones. That's what's new. Okay. So, Mother Zola, what do you have for us?
Speaking on the man in the mirror. The woman I was. The man in the mirror. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make that change. Mm-hmm. The woman I was yesterday introduced me to the woman I am today, which makes me excited about meeting the woman I will become tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Let me read that again. The woman I was yesterday introduced me to the woman I am today, which makes me excited about meeting the woman I will become tomorrow. We have to make a change. It takes courage to endure the sharp pains of self-discovery rather than choose to take the dull pain of unconsciousness that would last the rest of our lives. If we keep walking down that same road, that same street, stepping in that same hole, complaining about being in that hole, complaining about the distraught of being in that hole, and blaming other people because we walking down the same street, stepping in the same hole, we'll just, as Black Rose said, we'll just be going around in this vicious circle. We can't change the whole world. There's no need for you to change the whole world. Just change yourself. And you have started changing the whole world. Because you are a part of the whole world. If even a single human being changes, that change will radiate to thousands of others, and you will become a triggering point for a revolution which can give birth to a totally new kind of human being. Osho said that. We have got to do something with ourselves, starting with ourselves. We have to learn about ourselves. We've got to stand up and respect ourselves. What you expect is what you get. What you expect is what you get. If you expect for people to treat you like shit, then they will continue to treat you like shit. It's time for us to work on ourselves. It is time for us to make that game changer.
That's right.
What's your theme song? Do you have a theme song to say, okay, this is the new me? Mine is I'm coming out, and I don't mean I'm coming to be a lesbian. I'm coming out. That's my theme song. Black Rose, yours is Firecracker, right? Okay,
we have got to.
Yes, it's time. We can't keep, it's 2016. We can't keep doing the same things that we did in 2014, 2015, and then being surprised and being upset because things have not changed. So that's my mind, body, and spirit for today is start with yourself. Like Michael Jackson said, start, look in the mirror. Look in the mirror and say, what can I do different? What changes? We all need to change. We didn't come here just to stay as we were when we got
That's
here.
Right.
We you all need to change.
Yeah, you have to
yes.
evolve. Yeah. And so with that, may I ask this?
Please, yes.
Mother Zola, can we go around and ask everyone, what is your theme song? What is your theme? My theme song is Match Productions, Firecracker.
And why okay, is that?
Because I'm a firecracker. I'm a firecracker.
All right.
I am an Aries, and I bring the pain. I bring the drama. I'm just a firecracker. I just when I come in the room, it's like bam. That's just me. Always have been. I'm just electric. I'm electrifying. I'm motivating, and so that's my theme song, firecracker. I like to move people to action. You know, we have this radio talk show, And it's about informing people. It's about giving people a voice, giving people an opportunity to share, because I want us to share, and I also want us to encourage thought. That's why this is Black Thought Sunday. I want people to think. And then when you finish thinking, I want you to take an action. I want you to do something. You know, we can't just keep on just over and over with the same damn thing. You got to change. Like Michael Jackson said, that's why I love that song. What are you going to do differently? What, I mean, how can you wake up and day after day after day and keep doing the same thing, but you're unhappy with your life?
Right.
So, I mean, what are you going to do? When I was unhappy with my life in Memphis, guess what? I got my butt up and I prepared myself to relocate. And I relocated a couple of times. I live in Houston now, but I'm not saying that I'll stay here for the rest of my life. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. But I just think that we have to go where we need to go. We have to do what we need to do in order to make our lives what we want our lives to be, because we are in control of our lives and our destiny. Don't no man in the sky control your life. You control your life.
Right. Yes.
And for all the Christians to say, I look up to the hills, which comes from my help comes from the hills or whatever. What is it? I have all
I'm gonna wait on the Lord.
What is the one that y'all like to say in church? Let me see, what is it? I can do all things through Christ. Okay, so if you really say that in church on Sunday, and if you really believe in it, then do those things.
Do it.
I mean, that's what that statement is telling you. You have the strength to do every single thing that you want to do. There's nothing stopping you but you. And I must say that I'm 44 now. I would have to say for over 40 years, I have been holding my own self back. I've been in fear of success. And I'm still overcoming that. I'm changing that. I was fearful of what success would bring to me. So I was afraid to branch out and do this and do that. So we just have to do that. So let me stop talking. And I want to hear other people's theme songs. So Mother Zola, you said your theme song is I'm Coming Out, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. And you like that theme song because of what?
Well, because of some terrible things that happened to me when I was a child growing up, my voice was shut down. Mm-hmm. I was led to feel that I had no voice. I was led to feel that my thoughts didn't matter. Like Mother Dunning mentioned, I said yes a lot of times to people, when I really didn't want to do something or when I really didn't agree with it, because I didn't want confrontation. Let me just give you a little background. I grew up in the projects. Okay. Fights every day. I was part of it. I fought just for the heck of it, because that was what we did. But we didn't fight with guns or knives or anything like that. We just fought and made up the next day. It was just part of life. And my mother was an abused wife. And so one day she just up and left. She left the kids. She took the baby. She left the two girls and the two boys. And I was molested. My father got arrested for stealing on the job, so the family got broke up, and we stayed with this person, and that person got molested again. And it was just a terrible, terrible childhood. And when I got back with my mom, I was still young. Right after I got back with my mom, lo and behold, I get kidnapped. I get kidnapped right off my own yard. I'm not even 16 yet, and I've gone through all of this. And I get back with my mom. I finish high school. No talk of college. No talk of college. Back then, it was just go to school, get an education, finish college, don't get pregnant. That's kind of hard to do when you're being molested, okay? So none of my teachers noticed me. None of my teachers noticed that there was something going on. And luckily, back then, you had these three-hour courses like SHOP and VOE, Vocational Office Education, that they taught to children. So this wonderful company, it was a gas company, chemical company, they took me out of school, well, after I graduated, rather, sent me to college, gave me this wonderful job. I never had to flip burgers or anything like that. I've always been in the corporate world. And from then on, I was just lucky to have gotten a good job like that. And things turned out like they did. So I try not to judge other people because of the things that I've been through. And they say that you choose your life before you even get here. And I wonder, why would I choose something like that? You know, but because of that, I'm compassionate toward other people. So I look at things differently. I look at different perspectives of people's lives, and I always say, that could have been me. I could have been promiscuous. I could have been on the street. I could have been a drug addict. I could have been any of these things. So all these years, I'm almost 65 now. All these years, I've sort of been on a shutdown mode, you know. But now I realize I have a voice. I'm intelligent. I can speak my mind. And they say this, there's this quote that says, say what's on your mind, mean what you say. Those that matter don't mind. Those that mind don't matter. So I'm coming out. I'm becoming the real me that I was supposed to be. I want to teach. I read a lot. Thank goodness I read a lot because my mom read a lot. And I want to share the things that I learned. So I'm coming out now. And that's my theme song. No more little mousy, you know, because I'm a Leo. And so it's time for the lion to come out in me. So I am coming out. And that's why I that's why Diana Ross had that song, because she changed the companies that she was working for, and she said, I'm coming out. I'm going to show you who I really am. And she did. She just redid herself. So that's why I have this song, the theme song, I'm Coming Out. And some people are not going to like it. Yes, some people are not going to like it, but I'm going to be happy. No more trying to please other people, because in the end, I'm not going to be happy. So I'm going to speak my mind. I'm going to be the real me that I was supposed to be when I came here on this earth. Play my song, sure, I heard it. Hey. Yeah. You should see me dance to that too. I can cut up. I can spin, I can twirl, I can kick.
All right. Now, who else has a theme song? Delta, what's your theme song? Let's go ladies first. Delta, come on off your mic. Delta.
Look at Delta. See, look at Delta. That's what I'm talking about right there. I don't know what's going on. Let me play my theme song. This is mine. Oh, theme song. That is mine. King B, what's your theme song? And then Brother Brown. You have a theme song, King B?
Where is everybody?
I got one.
I'm here.
Oh, we lost.
Scotty got one.
Okay, come on, Scotty.
I got a new one. This one just came out last year. I actually interviewed the artist. That's Burn and Bury if y'all want to hear the rest of it.
Oh, I love it.
What is it?
Burn and Bury.
What is it again?
Burn and Bury, the John Sims project.
Oh, okay.
I love it. Yes.
Yeah.
Can we hear a little more?
So what does it say?
You
what is
hear
it,
some
what
more?
Does it mean for
okay,
you?
Okay, well, it means to me the Civil War ain't over. This is about the Confederate flag. He was going around burning the Confederate flag in about 13 states, the original 13 colonies, because he also a mathematician as well as an artist. And so he came out with this song for that. He actually had wrote an article for Huffington Post, and then, you know, he put music to it and redid it, you know, read his article as he was reading lyrics to a song. It's deep. But that's what he's talking about. And the Civil War ain't never over because the question of slavery hasn't been answered. And I know what the answer is. It's to end slavery. So, you know, he's an abolitionist too. He recognizes that slavery was never abolished. So that's why we talk about the 13th Amendment so much. But this song is sort of like a declaration of war, you know, but he don't go in on them like I would.
Diversity and dynamic heritage of Southern folk, where the African-American experience has played a central role. And to continue to fly this flag is not only passive-aggressive and disrespectful, but it promotes visual terrorism. And if black people and sympathetic others are not in constant resistance and protest of such symbols, then we run the risk of sending the wrong signal that everything is fine and we don't matter. So we protest.
Love it.
Yes,
I love
thank
it.
Thank God for sharing this song with us. Thank you. And so that's meaningful to you. I love it. I love it.
Burn, I can relate to that.
I can too. Yeah. So, Brother Brown, your theme song?
My theme song. I got a couple of them, but one of them I really love. There's more money, more problems, but Biggie Smalls. I don't have it, but that's my theme song. Because when I did my, I showed you that clip I did on YouTube on C-SPAN, right? Did you ever pull that up?
No, Brother Brown, you said you were going to try to find it and send it to me.
Yeah. But when I went on C-SPAN that morning, I knew
Hello, welcome
I was
to the
protecting
back
the people in public housing because that's when this thing called Hope 6 was introduced during the George Bush, during the Bush administration. No, yeah, during the Bush administration. And one of the elements in there was that the more money that we try to make, the more problems that we got. And, you know, we have been induced to believe that if we can get enough money, that we can eradicate our problems. But that's not true in a capitalistic society run by Jews and white folks. Because the more money you get, the more they try to put you in a position of no power. So that's why I like this song, More Money, More Problems.
There you go. I got it for you. Hey,
right.
and they sampling Aja's song. That's Mace. Mace became a preacher.
Stay humble, stay low, blow like booty. True pimp, spin no dough on the booty. Yeah, there go Mace, there go your cutie.
And in reality, we have been blinded by thinking that, you know, you look at these rappers and entertainers and sports stars, and, you know, these people making millions and millions of dollars, but yet they're doing nothing to help the struggle of our people. You might have one or two that may step out every now and then. But on an overall basis, if these people with millions and millions of dollars, you know, like people don't know why Sam Cooke was killed. Sam Cooke was killed. Yeah, because he made a pact with Malcolm X and Dr. King and told him that he donated all his services and money to help them because they know that they weren't getting any money. And when the government had wiretapped Sam Cooke's phone and found this out, then they set him up to be annihilated.
Mm-hmm.
And they killed him.
Yeah, he was set up. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When they killed him, you know, they turned around and put that woman in a mental institution, and then they killed her.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know they killed her, too.
Yeah, they killed her.
That manager of the hotel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they killed her. They eventually killed her because they locked her up in a mental institution. And declare her, you know, criminally insane.
Delta finally joined us back. So Delta, what's your theme song?
Yeah, my phone just dropped off, and I was trying my best to get it back on.
I was hoping you make it back in time so that you can hear your letter.
Yeah, I was trying to get back on.
Mm-hmm. But do you have a song, sweetie?
I don't really know, no. This is true.
But you're gonna have to think of one. You're gonna have to think of something and get back with us. You gotta have a thing song. It's a game changer.
Mm-hmm.
You have some of the gospel song that you like.
Why don't y'all give her a song? Y'all know her better than anybody else.
Yes. We're gonna do that.
Hmm.
Thank you, Scotty.
Mm-hmm. About Mary J. Blige. I like some of her stuff.
I got one for you. Breakthrough. Scotty, do you have a breakthrough? You're
going to have a breakthrough.
Breakthrough by who?
Breakthrough this year.
Mm-hmm.
Breakthrough
by
who?
You're going to break through a lot of the stuff that you've been going through. I can see it and I can feel it. You're going to have a breakthrough because you are going to become a subject specialist on child foster care. So that's going to be your breakthrough, your breakout moment. You're going to write your book about what happened to you and your children. I'll be your ghostwriter. I'll help you write it. You're going to sit your tail down. You're going to send those grandchildren away for the summer. You're going to work on your book because you got
to
do
I need
you.
You know,
it's time for you to do you.
My little bitty.
It is. It really is.
Yes. It's time for you to do you. And it's great to love them, but you know what? You have raised your children. You've been raising those grandchildren. Yeah. Those grandchildren have parents. And, you know, it's great that you take care of them. We need more grandmothers like that. But you don't have to sacrifice you. And you don't have
your
to
life.
Sacrifice Papa. You don't have to
but
sacrifice
I'd be worried
time
about
from you.
Them. I want to make sure they taken care of.
That's all well and fine, but you still can't take care of them when there's no you.
Right.
How are you going to take care of them when there is no you? So you got to do you first. Sometimes we have to, and you know, we grow up, especially as black women, we grow up thinking, well, I got to always do this for somebody else. I got to work so hard. I got to do this. I got to be strong. And I got to do this, and I got to take care of this person and that person. And then we forget about ourselves, and then we stroke out and die.
Right.
I just had a cousin that died this week, younger than me.
Named
younger
after
you. Me. Named after me. Younger than me. And died. So we have to learn how to take care of ourselves. We got to do for us. You know,
and a lot of times as black women, we live our lives through our children. And in your case, through your children and through your grandchildren. I have done that with black women. I have lived my life through my child. It's time for me to live my life.
Yeah.
You can only do so much for them, and then you have to do for yourself. If you give, if you have a loaf of bread and you give all of the bread to somebody else, what are you going to eat? You're going to starve, and you're going to die.
Yeah. So, essentially,
my Mary J. Blige song, it was coming to me while y'all was talking to me. It was like, it's that song that she made popular back here a few years ago about, I can hear it in my mind, but I can't bring it out the way I want. Yeah. I can't think of it. I have to go on YouTube and get it and let you hear it.
Do it on YouTube.
You know, whatever they on. Y'all know I ain't never been into no blues. I have listened to her.
Oh, okay.
I mean, just
let's
real. I never listened at any type of music. It was always gospel music.
Okay, well, gospel music is great. Let's take a quick break and we'll come right back. And maybe we can find your
I got a song for her. I got a song for her based off of what y'all been talking about. This is for you.
Okay.
This one right here.
Okay.
This is what you need to tell them.
I'm not afraid to
Hey, I got my song.
What is it?
Remember the one by Whitney Houston when she said, "My mama didn't, I didn't break." You remember that song that her last song she released before she died? She says, "I wasn't made to break."
You say it's one of her last songs. I had to look up her.
Yeah.
Disco.
Yeah, her last album, and she said, and she went on Oprah and she sang that song, and she said, "I wasn't made to break."
Wasn't made to break.
I dropped off, guys. Are you still talking about Mary J. Blige?
No, she's talking about Whitney Houston.
Okay. Oh, I know that. I know what you're talking about.
By Whitney Houston, where I wasn't made to break.
I know what you mean.
After all she'd been through, the white man thought he was gonna break me, but he didn't.
I wasn't built to break. I think it's the name of it.
To make me get in touch with y'all, and now we doing all this. And he thought he was going to break me, but he didn't. He just made me strong.
Okay.
We
got to
find that one, Scotty.
Here it is. I think.
That's it.
Lost touch with my soul. I had nowhere to turn, I had nowhere to go. Lost sight of my dream, thought it would be the end of me. I thought I'd never make it through. I had no hope to hold on to. I thought I might break. Didn't know my own strength.
Yeah, I love that.
But I did not.
Yeah, because you know, make you think about my grandkids. Because that almost broke me. It's just even hearing that now makes you. I just want to break down and cry. Because I thought I was going to make it. I'm going to make sure my grandkids.
Pull my head up high. I was not built to break. Didn't know. Struggle. Found hope in my heart. I found a light my way out of it. All that I need, my hearing that I knew. I thought I'd never find my way. I thought I'd never lift that weight. I thought I might break, baby. Didn't know my own strength, and I crashed down, stumbled, but I did not crumble. Got through all the pain. Didn't know my own strength, but by my darkest hour, my faith kept me alive.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For live programming schedules, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. www.thedecisionmakers.com.
That's a good song for you.
That is a good song. I love that. Okay.
Yeah, but
I have.
Can I elaborate on that song for just about 2 minutes?
Yeah, let me just send Scotty a message because
okay.
I want him to cue something up if he can. Scotty, I just sent you an email. I have an additional theme song. Delta just sparked my memory of another theme song. I just sent it to you in email. If you don't mind, if you could just share that one. That's a very powerful one for sisters. But after Delta elaborates on her song, then we'll go into your letter, Delta.
Okay, I won't be long. That song there, it brought back so many memories. Listen to Scotty play that song. People don't realize the backbone of a family is really holding the family together. It's the grandparents. Because when our kids step out of line, the grandparents have always been right there to catch the kids. But now, we can't even be there to catch our own kids anymore, grandkids, our nieces and nephews and cousins, because the white men want our kids in order for them to set home and make money and get rich, because the white lady that had my grandkids was receiving $15,000 a month for 5 kids. And I have the documents to prove it. And it's just so sad that as a nation that we allow this to happen. And a lot of people don't even realize it's happening. And that's a powerful and hurting thing, that when you can't have your own grandkids and you wondering, are they properly being taken care of? Are you wondering all the time what's going on? How things going with them. In order for me to survive, a lot of times, I have to put it out of my head. Because in the back of my mind, it's something that'll run me crazy. Because everybody not a grandmother. Some grandmothers don't want nothing to do with their grandkids. But I'm a grandmother. I try to take care of all my grandkids if I have to. I'm not saying it's an easy job, but it's something that as a grandmother, I have to step up and do in order to survive, in order for my family to survive and stay strong. And if it hadn't been for Mr. Brown, Miss Hattie, Ashir, Dr. Sharp, and different ones who have helped me along the way, I couldn't have made it. So I just want to give my shout out to everybody. Even Scotty, even though we just met, even Scotty let me have a platform, because people don't realize, and that's something we need to keep us staying out front, because my husband said we don't forgot away from it. That's something we got to keep it out there to let the people know what's going on, why our kids are not coming home. So I just want to tell y'all that. Thank y'all.
Yeah, definitely. You're so powerful. This is a song for you and other grandmothers like Lisa Reed that are going through the same situation and other situations. Come on, play that song for me, Scotty. Yeah.
Thank you.
just love that Mary J. Blige song right there, because I tell
that's
you,
that's it.
That, you know, women, we make jokes like about Mary J. Blige songs, like, oh yeah, boy, that song right there, that particular song, that got me through this. Oh, that Mary J. Blige song, they got me through this. That one got me through that. And I tell you, that song right there, oh my God, that song,
yeah.
Listening to that, that got me through some tough times, because as she sings in that song, I went to the edge of the ledge, but I didn't jump. And I can think of so many times where I wanted to give up, just say, forget about it. And, you know, I had to hold on. And so, Delta, I don't know, because I don't have any grandchildren that have been taken away from me. I can empathize with you, and it breaks my heart. You know, the first time that me and you and Mother Hattie spoke on the phone, and, I mean, we just, like, hit it off, and we had your show, and we just kept in touch ever since then. It's been going on 3 years now, because that's how we met, because we had a show about your situation with your grandchildren. So we probably should do an update on your show too, like Papa said. You know, we can't get away from it, and that's why you have got to write your book. And we need for you to in 2016, as we mentioned, start giving like a little 5-minute segment on some tips and pointers for other people that are going through what you're going through, like how to document the paperwork, how to follow up with Child Protective Services and things like that, so that you can, you know, be able to help those other people. So, therefore, I don't want time to get by, and we don't.
Okay, go ahead. I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm ready for my letter.
All right. So this is a letter from Money Burning. So Money Burning, right? She has just come into. She says, "Hi, Delta. I love your advice that you've been sharing with people. This is not a relationship question. This is actually a money question. And I've heard you speak about how we need to be wiser with our finances. And I've heard that you mentioned that you own property. I have just come into an inheritance from a family member that passed. And I'm wondering, how should I invest my money? Should I invest in real estate, or should I consider something else? And if I do decide to invest in real estate, what are the steps that I should take? How can I go about finding property? I would like to have some rental property. Also, I would like to invest in a home for my family, so that my children, so that we can have a home in the family for the children. So that they can have this home when they grow older. So, Delta, I need your help. What should I do?"
Well, that is a very good question, because a lot of people, when they get money, they run out and they begin to buy a lot of stuff. And I want to give just a 1 minute little segment. When I was really, really struggling when I first got married, I went to the thrift store, and a lot of people won't go to the thrift store. But I stayed at the thrift store, and I wasn't ashamed. I stayed there, and I stayed there, and I stayed there. And my kids and me dressed just as nice as anybody else. And when I got up on my feet, then I branched out and began to buy other stuff. And that's the main thing. We got to stick within our means. Don't jump up and try to drive a Mercedes, and you know you can't drive nothing but a Volkswagen. So you got a Volkswagen pocketbook for driving a Mercedes. And when you drive a Mercedes with the Volkswagen pocketbook, you're not going to have nothing in there to catch it, because when that Mercedes breaks down, you don't have the money to fix it with that Volkswagen pocketbook. Now let me get on back to her. When you get an inheritance, the best thing you can do is go up in a middle class
neighborhood and buy you a piece of property. And when you buy that piece of property, you take that piece of property and you try to pay much as you can down on it if you can't pay cash for it. And you try to get that piece of property paid within 10 to 15 years if you can. And you get a nice piece of property and you can rent that piece of property. And then, but the most of all, when you get that piece of property, get you some A1 credit. And when you get you some A1 credit, you can go in and buy a house with nothing but your signature. But I can even give you something better than that, young lady. Please take your money and put it in real estate. Real estate is the best you can buy. It's the best investment. Real estate is good when you don't even have a lot of cash. Your real estate is your cash. Your real estate can move. It'll be your cash for you.
It factors into your net worth.
You can pay for one home with the home you already purchased.
Mm-hmm.
But don't overspend yourself. You can pay for that one home first. Then if you see another home that you want, you go down to the bank and say, okay, I want to buy this piece of property. And I'm going to let this one be my collateral. And the bank will do it. And you won't have to spend one dime. That's with your good financial and leaning your other property up against it. Then on top of that, young lady, you can pay down on your house and you can go to the bank. Let me even back up. She can go to the bank. If she wants to buy a house, she can go to the bank and put all her money in the bank. Then what she go and do is take out a loan against her own money and purchase that house. And when she purchased that house, she can be paying the bank back. And when she paid the bank back, her money is still there. She gonna use her own money for collateral. If she got enough to pay cash for a house, she can take that money and put it in the bank and borrow against her own money and purchase her house. And when she paying the bank back, put your money in a CD where you can make money and borrow against it. And then when you borrow against it, you're paying your house off, plus your money is making money. And when you get through paying that back, what you owe the bank, you're on double your money almost.
Oh.
So that's what she can do. But I will try to go in a nice area. Then on top of that, let me throw another piece of financial advice out there. Anybody, you can have the worst credit in the whole wide world, and you still can buy a home. If somebody, you run an ad, I told a lady this, and she thought I was crazy. And the lady did just what I told her. And within 1 week or 2 weeks, the lady came back and told me she bought her home. You can go and run an ad in the newspaper and say, I'm looking to come in and sue my mortgage. And then you can say, I'm looking for owner finance. And you tell them, I got whatever amount you want to put down, you tell them I got $5,000 or $4,000, I'm just throwing out some figures, or $2,000, and you tell them this is what I want to put down. And if you're talking about owner finance, and what you do is you tell them, I want my note to be no more than $700 or $500, however you want to say. And you go and you take them that money and you go to a lawyer and pay a lawyer about $200 to draw up the paper. You got many people who want to get from off and under their loan and want to sell a piece of property and they don't want to go through a bank or nothing. They want to be the one that sell their own property and make all the money off of it. So all you got to do is say, I'm looking for owner finance. Run an ad
owner finance.
I'm willing to pay. Owner finance.
Okay.
And tell them that you're looking for a house and what you can pay down and how much you want your note to be. And you go to a lawyer and pay the lawyer to draw up the papers. And the lawyer will do a background check on the property and make sure everything is okay. And the lawyer will fix it where they won't be able to borrow or nothing against the home or anything. And when you do owner finance, that means they're not checking any credit or anything. The owner come right in and do everything for you. They don't check any credit when you do owner finance.
That's great. That's an excellent tip, Delta. Wow, it sure is. That. I didn't either, but I know everything. But, yeah, that's cool. Great. Love it. Love it. Thank you. Thank you. Mm. A lot of people take that tip.
I bought two or three of them on the finance. I just bought a house from a doctor. Me and my papa did about, we've been here the house now about 5 years. And it's a beautiful home. And have a huge den with a big fireplace in there. But I don't allow them to burn the fireplace because you got to be careful. You got to have people that's really responsible. So I don't like them to burn the fireplace because you got to be really careful. Because if somebody get burnt down or anything, you're responsible for that. And so I bought this house and I told him what I could pay and blah, blah, this. The owner, me and the owner came up with an agreement. I went to the lawyer and paid the lawyer $150 and drew up the paper. And I paid the owner $5,000 down when I got my income tax. And I make a payment of $371. Me and the owner just signed it over. We did a wraparound mortgage. And you can do a wraparound mortgage. That means that it can still be in that person's name, but you and that person went to a lawyer and drew up papers, and you drew up person papers, and you did a wraparound. It's called a wraparound mortgage. That means it's your house, and when it's paid off, the lawyer got the paperwork fixed, and the lawyer have a copy, and when the house is paid over, it paid off, it automatically goes solely in your name. It's called wraparound mortgage because you got a lot of people who looking to get from off and under their mortgage. And what they'll do to keep their credit from going bad, they'll let someone come in and take over the payments and they'll move on to the next place.
Wow.
Remember that one. It's called wraparound mortgage.
Okay, so Delta, you just sparked a show topic that I would like for us to take on, and I want it to be how to purchase real estate.
Excellent.
Let's work on putting that together, because I have a question I would like to ask you, but we're out of time now, but I want you to think about this, and I'll call you after the show if you don't fall asleep. But I want to ask you, if someone wants to purchase property out of state or out of the city that they live in, is that possible? Mm-hmm. And how can they go about that? Like a home, not like a commercial property,
yeah, you can.
But like
you can
a home.
Okay,
I want you to put together a show. Let's put that show together so that we can have some talking points and we can share with people how to do this, what are the steps on this. What are the steps on that? So let's put that together. And I think this was a great show. I want to thank Scotty, thank Mother Zola, Delta Cougar, Brother Brown, and Candy, King B. And we will be back on Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. So we look forward to hearing from you. Thank you. Namaste. Peace and blessings. And good night.
Good night.